Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field, and Wes and I are back from Minneapolis, a 23-10 loss to the Minnesota Vikings, but a much bigger loss, obviously, for the Green Bay Packers as the 2017 season really takes on a completely different landscape now, Wes, with Aaron Rodgers, his broken collarbone in his right throwing shoulder, possibly out for the rest of the season. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of time to pick up the pieces here, but really the aftermath of this injury is tough to swallow.
It is, Mike, and it's one of those situations where I think, you know, immediately you go back to 2013 and what it was like for the Packers trying to power through that, how the team had to kind of pull together during that run to put themselves in a situation for Rodgers to bring them to the playoffs. Then we have a long way to go here. We have a lot to see how this is all going to unfold. But, you know, being in that locker room with those players, and obviously you were out there with Mike McCarthy and Brett Hundley talking about it, he's the leader. He's the heartbeat of the team, I think, is how Devontae Adams, you know, talked about it.
Yep.
He is really the Green Bay Packers through and through, what he stands for, how he adjusts. And with all the injuries that have been revolving around Green Bay this year, he was sort of the glue that kept it all together, you know, despite a shifting offensive line and shifting personnel in the backfield, losing Devontae Adams in that game against the Bears to that hit. Aaron Rodgers was the steady. You don't have that steady now. So from a on-field mental perspective, a lot for the Packers to overcome here now, and very early still in the season.
Yeah, and when you look at just the timeline of things, and Mike McCarthy didn't really have one for anybody, Aaron Rodgers missed 7 games back in 2013 with the broken collarbone, but that was in his left shoulder. This one is in his right throwing shoulder, so you would presume that the recovery is going to be longer than that, just in terms of having, you know, when you come back from one in the left shoulder, you don't necessarily have to regain the arm strength in that arm because he doesn't have to throw with it. So that's why I think the Packers announced officially that he might miss the rest of the season, you know, immediately after that injury was diagnosed. I want to ask you, though, the hit from Anthony Barr outside the pocket. Rodgers tries to throw a pass to Martellus Bennett, which is dropped, and then he takes the hit and lands on his throwing shoulder. What'd you think about the hit?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So many of us missed it in real time because, obviously, the play was unfolding. The pass to Martellus Bennett falls for an incompletion. And I know talking to a lot of people in the locker room, player-wise, they're focused on their assignments. Offensive linemen were focused on their blocks. Receivers were running downfield. I was picking up a stat packet from one of the people in the press box, so I didn't even watch in real time. Going back and seeing the replay, it's difficult because I think, as Mike Pereira said, it's a legal hit. But at the same time, there are those hits that it's like where I think a player has to make a decision.
Yep.
And and while they may be in the right in terms of the boundaries of the game of football, there's a potential there for an exaggerated play or an exaggerated hit to put another player in danger. And I think it was Jason Wilde who pointed this out a number of years ago. I think it was one of the defensive tackles, was it, from the Bears, where Rodgers, it was a Tommy Harrison, I forget who it was, but there, you know, Rodgers was in a compromising position. The defensive player held him up to make sure that...
Yes, you're right, and it was Tommy Harris.
Tommy Harris,
yes.
Yeah. To make sure that he didn't end up sustaining a significant knee injury. He knew what was going to happen on the play, and he knew what could potentially be there.
Yeah.
Players looking out for each other. Rodgers has not spoken about it. Anthony Barr sustained a concussion during the game, so he hasn't spoken about it. So there's a lot to be figured out there. But considering this is just a number of weeks after the play to Devontae Adams, it does make you wonder at the end of this season if the NFL is going to have to take a look at this rule book and take a look at how things are happening for the sake of player safety, to maybe, you know, find another way to go about this thing.
Yeah, I go back to what you said at the beginning of your comment, which is there was a moment where a decision was made.
Yeah.
And the way I look at this is this was a classic case of an opportunity to take a shot at a quarterback.
Yeah, right.
And that's what happens in football. And there are players who take that shot, and there are players who don't. There are players who might just give a two-hand shove to, you know, just in case he doesn't get rid of the ball or whatever the case might be. In this case, it was a shot on a quarterback, and he doesn't have all of the same protections within
right.
the rules when he's outside the pocket as when he's inside the pocket. The whole picking him up a little bit, you know, where you drive the shoulder into the ground. If If that happens in the pocket, that's a flag and a possible ejection, certainly a fine. We don't know what's going to happen with Barr in this case, but the rules are different when the quarterback is outside the pocket, and I think that played into Anthony Barr's decision at the time that he made it, and unfortunately now the Packers have to deal with the consequences.
Yeah, and I think this, again, Mike, what I was saying is where the NFL is going to have to step in at some point, because you remember when the read option was really popular a number of years ago, where it was really becoming prevalent. One of the reasons I think it kind of tapered off a little bit is because when the quarterback has that read option fake, even if he hands the ball off, he's a free target then.
Yep.
And defenses were taught in a lot of ways to follow through with your tackle, to make the hit, to make the play. This is where it kind of gets into that gray area a little bit. So exactly what the ramifications of this will be, we'll see. But it's tough because it is one of those things where it's the game of football. You're going to have contact, but the fact that Aaron Rodgers could potentially be out for the rest of the year because of something that happened after the ball was let go.
Something that was totally avoidable.
It's definitely regrettable, not just in the Packers instance, but I think when you look at the NFL as a whole, guys want to be out there. You want to see your stars on the field. This isn't good for anybody.
Yeah, absolutely not. But with that, we're going to throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkiewicz in that one. And Wes, so Aaron Rodgers leaves the game in the first quarter. The game is scoreless, actually, if I recall right, 0-0. Brett Hundley comes in to take over, really his first meaningful regular season action as an NFL quarterback since he was drafted in the fifth round in 2015 out of UCLA. But I don't know if you could come up with, aside from maybe a playoff game, I don't know if you could come up with a more difficult assignment for a backup quarterback. You're on the road in a noisy, loud indoor place against one of your division rivals that possesses one of the best defenses in the league, and you've got your offensive lineman in front of you dropping like flies with injuries and all the shuffling with substitutes coming in and everything. Brett Hundley was put in a nearly impossible position.
You can make the argument, Mike, this is one of the most adverse situations a backup quarterback has ever been put in Green Bay. And the reason I go back is even 13, when Seneca Wallace played, when Scott Tolzien played and Matt Flynn played, all their first action actually came at Lambeau Field.
Right.
They were
absolutely
at home. Wallace started the game. Tolzien had to come in after he sustained a groin injury. Matt Flynn ends up coming in that Thanksgiving game against the Minnesota Vikings during that week, which ended up being a tie. They were in front of a friendly crowd. It doesn't get any more hostile than it does at U.S. Bank Stadium in the Minnesota Vikings. Now, I still think there's an element of artificiality included in that stadium with the amount of speakers that they have going in there now.
Yeah.
But it's tough, and it's a difficult assignment, especially as I think Corey Linsley said it. Lane Taylor kind of addressed it, too, afterwards. I mean, everything is tailored to Rodgers. It's their game plan. Brett Hundley took barely any first-team reps this past week. Rodgers needs as much work as he can get in which the confines that they have of a practice week. So for him to go in there, it was going to be difficult kind of treading that water to begin with. The one thing, which was the overwhelming sentiment in that locker room afterwards, is he came in confident, he came in calm, and he showed a lot of poise. Statistically, I'm sure Brett Hundley's not going to be raving about this one.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was able to enter that situation and not panic, I think, is what gives this locker room confidence going forward. He's going to be able to handle that job.
Yeah, Hundley stood in there, and as I mentioned, with some of the guys on the offensive line going out, and you're going to have your communication issues with pass protection. He stood in there and took some hits. He didn't back down from anything, and yes, statistically it didn't look good. He ends up with three interceptions, the last one on kind of that desperation drive in the final minute of the game. Ends up taking four sacks, a number of other quarterback hits. A rough day. There's no question about it for Hundley. But you turn the page now and you look at it as, okay, you said it. You know, the game plans now are going to not be tailored to Rodgers and what right. he does, but to what Brett Hundley and what he does best and what he likes about this offense the best and how Brett Hundley matches up against the opposing defense. And then him taking all of those practice reps on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Saturday morning, all of those are now going to be number seven. This is all about him preparing. And let's face it, take the whole Packers equation out of it. This is Brent Hundley's moment.
Right.
This is it. This is a guy who, assuming Aaron Rodgers is not near the end of his career and is going to be playing for a while, Brett Hundley's long-term future is not in Green Bay, theoretically.
Right.
And if he wants to be a starting quarterback in the NFL after his rookie contract expires, he's going to be doing that somewhere else, and this is his chance. He has to seize it. And so this means everything to the Green Bay Packers and to Brett Hundley.
Yeah, and I remember at the end of the preseason, his last start that he made against the Rams, first question he was asked, I think, in that post-game news conference was, is it tough to hand the keys back to Aaron Rodgers now?
Yeah.
Because he did. I think he probably played as much as he's ever played in a preseason this past year. I mean, he played extensively even in that fourth game.
Yeah.
They gave him a lot of work after missing out on that in 2016. He said it was difficult. He knew his role. He was excited to move back into that role. But being Aaron Rodgers' backup means unless an unforeseen situation happens, you're not going to be playing.
Yeah.
So this is a test for him, and it's a test for everything the Packers have done and his maturation. I would argue, Mike, that if you look at Mike McCarthy's system, Brett Hundley's probably the most natural fit as far as a backup quarterback in what McCarthy does. Maybe Seneca Wallace was in his prime,
mm-hmm.
but Brett Hundley is, I think, in a lot of ways, you're going to have to tailor things to him. No question about that. You have to find ways to get him comfortable. But I think one of the reasons he succeeded so much is because there were so many parallels between his game and Rodgers. And that communication between the two of them is what I think helped him excel during those preseason appearances. Now the case is trying to take all that experience, all that work, and translate it into meaningful NFL football games.
Yeah, and we talked about how much pressure he was under from the Minnesota Vikings and a very, very good defense, one of the top defenses in the league. I think as we go along here with Brett Hundley, everything about the time clock, when to escape, when to get out of the pocket, he has the athleticism to do that. He has the ability to make plays on the run. The timing with the receivers is going to come along. I thought the back shoulder throw on third down along the sideline to Jordy Nelson, I thought that was his best play of the game. It helped to set up a field goal and keep the Packers in the game there in the second quarter. I think we're going to see more of that as Davante Adams and Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson and Martellus Bennett and all these guys get used to playing and practicing with Brett Hundley on an everyday basis. This is going to be an evolution here. This is going to be development of a young quarterback on the fly. It's going to unfold right before our very eyes. But all those receivers that I just talked about are all veteran players. They've been around. The Packers are going to figure something out here on their offense. It's just a question of how long until it really starts to look the way Brett Hundley is going to want it to look.
And as Adam said in the locker room afterwards, he was communicating the whole time. He was talking with guys. He was taking suggestions. There was a communication there of what the receivers were seeing. As they build more of those snaps together, that's something I think is going to benefit them. And he actually did get some good work during training camp and in preseason games with that first team offense and those outside weapons. Again, things that I think could really behoove him now going forward and trying to lead this offense.
Yeah, I would agree. With that, though, we've got to get to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkiewicz over there. And Wes, I mentioned it obviously in the last segment, the what was going on with the Packers offensive line certainly didn't help the situation with Brett Hundley having to come in such a difficult position. The irony is that the Packers began the game for the first time all season with their starting five on the offensive line intact, and they ended the game in worse shape injury-wise than they've been all season long with all the injuries that they've dealt with, because we saw Lane Taylor leave the game with some sort of a lower leg injury, knee or ankle type of deal. Brian Bulaga leaves the game with a concussion, and David Bakhtiari apparently aggravated in some form or fashion the hamstring injury that had kept him out for a month. So three-fifths of your starting offensive line is out of the game down the stretch as Brett Hundley's trying to make a comeback, and it was it you know unfortunately just wasn't to be.
Yeah, this kind of almost reminded me of the NFC title game in a way, where LaTroy Guyon ended up finishing the game at guard, I believe it was.
Yeah,
with all the injuries they had sustained, really. The perfect, I wrote this in the notes for our website after the game, I think the best illustration of this is the fact that Justin McCray did not start the game, and he ends up playing at left guard, right tackle, and finishes the game at left tackle, which, as he said, he does take some reps at. They rep him everywhere during the week. They give him some work everywhere,
yeah,
with the understanding he's the utility guy. That still isn't the way you want to go about doing it. No. Ulrik John, who was signed off the practice squad 2.5 weeks ago from Arizona, he's playing at right tackle. And you know, Lucas Patrick came back in at left guard and did a fine job. But again, this is it's almost like a tease a little bit, because you finally got to see that unit together. You finally got to see David Bakhtiari next to Lane Taylor across, on the other bookend, with it being Brian Bulaga. Yeah, were they 100%? Probably not. We know that Bulaga is going to have to deal with that ankle going forward. But for the dominoes to fall like that, and also to lose Lane Taylor to that ankle injury, when he'd been arguably, kind of one of the MVPs of this team so far with what he'd done being at left tackle for Bakhtiari.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's just, it was an unfortunate day. I mean, Rodgers' injury is the big one, but the nicks that the Packers took throughout on the offense and defensive side of the ball, too, really, I think, underscored this loss.
Yeah, and we'll just have to see how things shape up here going forward. Obviously, the Packers have one more game here coming up Sunday at Lambeau Field against the New Orleans Saints before the bye week. So, really, Brett Hundley's best chance at success in this situation that he's been thrown into is to have the rest of the offense around him healthy, and for the Packers to have the rest of their best players. When you're not going to have your number one best player in Aaron Rodgers on the field, you need to have the rest of your best players available, certainly at least on that side of the ball for Hundley. So you hope, I mean, regardless of what the lineup ends up being against New Orleans, you hope then with the week off, with the bye, that you come back from that and maybe can start to develop some kind of continuity up front, something that Brett Hundley can count on in terms of the guys who are going to be out there every week that he's going to be working with, get into a rhythm with snap count, cadence, all of that kind of stuff, the protection calls, adjustments, everything that goes into it. This is not a simple game to play. This quarterback position is as tough as it gets in the business. And if the Packers are going to end up having to keep shuffling all these guys up front, no offense to anybody who's filled in and tried to do the job, but continuity is what matters on the offensive line. And the Packers simply just haven't had it for 6 weeks.
Yeah. And you go back to 2014, when they made that run to the NFC title game. They had that starting offensive line together for, I think, all of one game that entire season when Brian Bulaga missed the Week 2 matchup against the Jets. The rest of the way, they were good to go.
Yeah, 17 out of 18 games, and then it was just one starter in one game who missed.
Yeah, and so, I mean, to now be in a situation, 6 games, 6 weeks, 6 different lineups, not advantageous. The one silver lining, Lane Taylor doesn't believe his ankle injury would be too significant, and then, David Bakhtiari saying they just wanted to be smart. So we'll have to see how it all shuffles out, but the hope is that none of those injuries would be long-term.
Yeah, certainly certainly that would be the hope. With that, though, let's take care of a little sponsor business. Wes, picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 11 by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/best seats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, real quickly before we go, let's just take a look at the entire NFC landscape right now. Starting in the NFC North, Packers and Vikings are tied for first place at 4-2 after Sunday's result. The Detroit Lions are a game back at 3-3 after losing what sounds like an absolutely wild and crazy game down in New Orleans, a high-scoring, nutty affair. And then the Chicago Bears, 2-4, both of their wins now coming in overtime over AFC North opponents as the Bears pull out an overtime victory over Baltimore. So all four teams in the NFC North within two games of one another. And as we mentioned last week, the Philadelphia Eagles at 5-1, the only team in the NFC now with just one loss after the Atlanta Falcons blow a 17-0 lead and lose to the Miami Dolphins 20-17. So you try to figure it out.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's parity. I mean, how many times you and I have talked about it, Mike? It really does come down to in any given week, something can happen. And, you know, the thing that really stands out to me is the teams that make the playoffs when there is that upheaval every year, it's the teams that are most consistent. It gets to be cliche. I understand people sometimes don't like hearing it, but it really comes down to being able to generally take care of business with the understanding there's going to be those games where the Falcons end up, you know, getting beat after 20, you know, unanswered points. Those are the type of things that happen. The NFC North in general, wide up for, you know, up for grabs. Yeah. Mike McCarthy's message to that locker room afterwards was, we're 4-2. That's where it stands. That's the only thing that really matters in terms of what happened at the end of that game. So it now comes back to trying to bounce back and beat a really game Saints team that has two legitimate rushing options now to go along with that arm that Drew Brees is known for.
Yeah, it's funny. You look at where the New Orleans Saints are right now. I mean, if you had said based off of that week one Monday night game in Minneapolis, they looked terrible. It was like the Drew Brees era is over. And of course, you can't make judgments, you know, based on one game here or there, because the New Orleans Saints now look like one of the hotter teams in the NFC. And then what was the hottest team in the NFL in the Kansas City Chiefs, they end up losing at home to a team that and a quarterback that threw five interceptions the previous week, and everybody was wondering if Ben Roethlisberger was washed up. So you said it, Wes. The Packers are 4-2. They're tied for first in the NFC North. There are 10 regular season games left. Let's see what happens.
Absolutely. An interesting development, too, in that game with the Bears and Ravens. Bears end up running the ball 50 times. Remember, it was a couple years ago, Rex Ryan was joking about potentially running the ball 50 times a game. The Bears accomplished it. Jordan Howard, 36 carries, and then Cohen had another 14. It'll be interesting to watch how they, you know, develop from here as well.
Yeah, all right. Well, we've got plenty more to talk about as the week continues. But with that, we're going to call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, you can find him at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.